Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Quarter Footy Podcast. Today we are looking at season previews for each of the 18 AFL clubs. So far in our previous episodes, we've looked at the teams Adelaide through to Gold Coast, and today's episode will be focused on the Giants and Hawthorn. Now, last episode, Dita was the one who was discussing the teams primarily. And this episode, these are two teams that I've focused on. Dita, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm going well. Very excited to hear what you have to say about the Giants and Hawthorn. They're very unique teams coming into 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. So just a bit of an idea of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to look at a few key indicators, those being the ins and outs from 2022. We're going to look at a general prediction for 2023 and what the club should aim for. And then we're going to look at individual players who are looking like they might be ready to take the next step, or players who we think might be under the pump a little bit and need to do a little bit more. If you don't have anything more to say, I reckon we can jump straight into the Giants.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, in we go. So the Giants, they've been a team that have been interesting to watch, to say the least. And their off-season, I'm not a huge fan of, but I'll go through the ins first. They've brought in one player with AFL experience in Toby Bedford. Small forward from Melbourne. He doesn't really light the world on fire, but, you know, in terms of a player who GWS might need, I don't hate that pick. They didn't give up much for him as well, which, so in that sense, I think it's not too bad at all. But then, obviously, then with the Giants, they traded up for the number one draft pick and they picked up key forward Aaron Cadman. Outside of that, they had another first-round pick in Harry Roston. Otherwise, nothing major to report with the ins for the Giants. What are your thoughts on those two main players?
Yeah, I think Toby Bedford obviously fills in a list need, being a small forward. Didn't have much opportunity at Melbourne, given the depth and talent that they have there. I think, yeah, like you said, he won't set the world on fire, but I think he'll do enough to warrant a best 22 spot for Giants. And then, you know, Aaron Cadman, pick one, you know, who knows how a key forward goes. We've sort of seen with Jamar and a few other key forwards going number one that they do take some time to establish themselves in the competition, so we just hope that Cadman can string a few games together and excite some GWS fans.
Yeah, I like that. I think, yeah, Cadman, bit of a polarising pick, I think. They put a lot into it, and hopefully he can return the Giants with what is going to be hopefully a great career ahead. You know, pick one, you're obviously going to be a pretty good player. Hopefully he can just prove to be the best in that draft class. Now, looking at the outs, this is what's going to be an interesting, I guess, read pre-season, and it'll make for 2023, the early rounds, quite an interesting watch. They've lost Tanner Brune, Jacob Hopper, Tim Taranto, Bobby Hill, Jared Brander was delisted, Matt DeBoer retired, and then Zach Sproul and Jake Steen, who both were playing AFL footy as well last season. That's a lot of outs and a lot of AFL experience leaving the club. I mean, obviously the ones you can highlight are probably Hopper and Taranto, two guys who I'd say were pretty much top five players for the Giants. Taranto was a former number two draft pick back in 2016. So they've lost a lot there, and they haven't really brought much back in terms of players and experience. And then they've also lost a few young guys who, you know, could be anything. Tanner Brune was another high draft pick who's now leaving. And, you know, Bobby Hill may not have been a high draft pick, but he's shown in his, you know, in the games that he's played that he's got a lot to offer. And I think he's going to have a really great career outside of the Giants. What do you think?
Yeah, I think poor GWS always have a mass exodus each year, just with the depth of first round talent that they've had. And also as well, having to manage some of their players in terms of contract sizes and lengths. You've got Toby Green, Cornelio, Callie, Whitfield, all on very big contracts, so it's hard to fit in your Tarantos and Hoppers, and also tough for them to have Tanner Bruin and Bobby Hill leave after 2 or 3 years, because they're obviously players that they want for the future, and a Tanner Bruin, you know, might replace a Canelio in two or so years. So it's definitely a huge off-season for probably not the right reasons outside of getting the number one draft pick in Cadman. So it'd be interesting to see how their list goes in 2023 with their depth taking a hit.
Yeah, the depth is a big thing. I look at those outs and I look at the ins. Obviously, in the ins, you're only probably expecting Bedford and Cadman to have maybe a real impact this season, if anything. Even Cadman, you wouldn't really expect a big impact from, in all fairness to him. But you look at that, and their midfield depth is just going to get absolutely hammered. I don't see how they're going to go through this year with just a strong midfield for 22 games. That's not going to happen. You know, they're already running thin as it is, and then they lose Bruin, Hopper, Taranto, De Boer. These are four blokes who, you know, they were in the best midfield for them last season for a reason. Like, they're quality players. And I just don't know who goes into that role at the Giants right now, other than maybe pushing some guys in there that may not have that experience. You know, you got Finn Callahan, who could be one that comes through. But outside of, like, him, I don't really see a whole lot. I mean, you got Tom Green, who can obviously step up, but he's been there.
Yeah, I think their established midfielders in their VFL team aren't going to sort of replace those names you've listed. So it is going to be an interesting watch. You know, their first string midfield of Kelly, Canelio and Tom Green still will compete against the best midfields in the competition. But, you know, during quarters, they do need a rest, whether that's in the forward line or on the bench. And like you said, I don't know who's going to replace those players. So it's going to be interesting. They've got that older list now with their midfield, and outside of Tom Green, there's no one really. I mean, you look at their ins, they've picked up a few midfield players, but they're still 18, 19 years old. They're not going to replace Jacob Hopper this year or even next year. So I don't know. They could be sliding for 2023 even further than they did this year. So it'd be an interesting watch.
Absolutely. I think I just think they're in a really tough spot. Their list is just a strange list. The demographics of it is just quite middle of the road. The results they're going to get aren't going to be great. So yeah, they're in a tough spot. But in terms of a general prediction for 2023, I do have them sitting quite low on the ladder. I've got them pinned to 15th to 17th. Honestly, after reading out the ins and outs and just having a think about it as we're recording, I'll even go 15th to 18th, I think. I don't see how they can finish much higher than that. They may pinch a win or two here and there against teams that they probably shouldn't beat. That being said, I just don't see them being any sort of relevant to the 2023 season. They're not going to make a late push for the finals. I just don't see it. I don't think they have the quality on field to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well. And something we probably didn't note in GWS's ins is actually a new head coach. And Adam Kingsley, I think his name is, never coached a senior team before. He's an ex-Richmond assistant coach, so he's got some great experience coming from, I think, three grand final wins with Richmond and under Damien Hardwick. So I think that's a great platform to have, but that's a bit of the unknown as well with GWS heading into the new season. You know, we don't know their game plan, their playing style or anything like that. So it's going to be even more interesting to watch for GWS fans and in how they track for this season. So, like, I'm agreeing with you. I don't see them moving up from where they were. I think their general prediction is stay where they are or even go backwards.
Yeah. And look, in terms of what... I think that's a great point on the coach. I should have touched on that. Absolutely. But in terms of what the club should aim for, I mean, in a situation like this, I think it's a really tough call that the club has to make in terms of whether do they push and try and get as many wins as they can. And obviously, you should always try and win as much as you can. However, I think the priority for the Giants should be getting games into their kids that they've, you know, really invested some high draft picks into. Get them used to the AFL game. Get that exposure into them, because the way the list is sort of looking and building, they're not going to be a team that contends in the next couple of years. And with that, it provides such a big opportunity to blood some really young talent in the AFL system. So if they can get some games into these young kids, get them playing, you know, 15 games at least this season, that's going to be huge. Like someone like Finn Callahan, who was a high draft pick, by all reports, having a great preseason. If he can play, you know, majority of the games this season, this will be his first true full season. You get that out of the way, the sky's the limit for someone like that, assuming that all goes well, that is, of course. But I'm saying that that's what the club should be aiming for. I think they should just sort of ignore the latter in a way, which it's a bit of a cop-out, but also I think it's also fair in this situation.
Yeah, I don't think they should be tanking at all. But they should be looking to the future and playing those kids. And they had, you know, five or six players picked in the first two rounds of last year. And by all reports, they're all of quality players. And they've got a few list needs as well, with some more key defenders, small forward / midfielder in Darcy Jones, who I'm really impressed with. So if they can get some games in and hopefully build that momentum, you know, as well as Adam Kingsley being in his first year, you know, no one's really expecting them to set the world on fire. But I think it's important that they move forward by, like you said, playing the kids and getting some games into them.
Yeah, and so looking at some individual players now, we'll look at some guys who could be ready to take that next step. I've got two highlighted that I'll touch on, and if you want to add any more, you can do so in a sec. But the first player I've got is Isaac Cumming. I thought last year he sort of broke out, became quite a fantastic sort of half-back, tall defender. Ability to intercept if you need him to, ability to take kickouts, can take a man. He really is sort of a jack-of-all-trades down in the back half. And I thought last season he was super impressive. I think he's the kind of player who can definitely, again, go up to another level in 2023. He definitely caught the eye of a lot of people last season. And I think a big part of that also was because the ball was getting down there a lot. He's sort of taken over from Nick Haynes in that role. You know, and then when Harry Himmelberg went back, they made a really good partnership, I thought, in terms of just two really tall guys who were clean with the footy, great hands, great kick. I think he's one to really watch, and I could see him doing really well. The other one, and this is probably the one I'm most saying who could take the biggest step in the right direction, that's Lachie Ash. We talk about the players leaving the Giants, and Lachie Ash was a pick four a couple seasons ago now. He's shown some really cool signs, and I think he's going to be a real weapon for GWS, whether he's playing on the half back, whether he moves up into the midfield or wing spots now that there are openings there. I think he will provide something that they've sort of lacked in terms of just speed and pure aggression out of that midfield. I don't think they've really had that for a while. But yeah, I think he's a really exciting player. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're two good names to have on the next step. I'm really impressed with Isaac Cumming. He seems to be an emerging leader down in the back line, and he's a very smooth mover. He sort of reminds me of a young Heath Shaw. I think he's a great replacement in that sense of taking the kick outs and also have the penetrating kick outside of defensive 50 and linking up with the half forwards. I think if you're looking at a good super coach option, I think he could be a very interesting pick this year. And Lachie Ash, I think his development's been hampered by the fact that he's been playing different roles and he hasn't sort of been given the opportunity to sit in one position. I think in his under 18 years, he was a halfback player and had that, you know, incredible burst of speed. And hopefully, with the new coach coming in, he can settle him down, because he's got all the potential, but he just needs that continuity throughout a full season of one position. So I think they're great players to watch. Who do you think players under the most pressure?
Yeah, under the pump. Well, this one, it's a bit stiff on the guy because it's not really his fault, but I do have Aaron Cadman pinned as someone who's under pressure, and that's purely because he's coming in to the AFL as the number one draft pick. He was a draft where everyone knew Will Ashcroft was sort of the pick of the bunch, and GWS have just gone ahead and said, no, we're going to take Cadman pick one. We're not even going to bid on him. We're not going to bid on Ashcroft. And, you know, GWS gave up a lot as well to get that first pick. They traded up for that, and that's a big deal. So he was a guy who wasn't really touted as a, you know, a number one pick potential up until only really a month or two before the draft as well. So it was an interesting draft pick. I hope that he does well. I really do. But I think just being the number one pick, a lot of pressure will come on his shoulders. But then in terms of another player who I've sort of noted who could be under pressure, and this one's a bit more fair, I'd say, is Brent Daniels. He's a guy who hasn't been able to get on the park for near enough time for the Giants. When he plays, he has a few good games, and then he has a couple shockers, gets dropped. You know, there's openings in that forward line with Bobby Hill leaving. I know they brought in Bedford, but that's someone who Daniels could probably keep out of the side if he starts playing well. He's a guy who should be doing better, and I think he could definitely provide more on the field than he has been so far. What do you think about players under pressure?
Yeah, I think very interesting ones for different reasons. Aaron Cadman, first round draft pick. There's always that scrutiny from the media and the football community at large. I think for us personally, who sort of follow the draft and sort of players that are likely touted as that number one pick, Ashcroft and Wardlaw all year were those two that were jostling for the number one mantle, and George Wardlaw wasn't able to get onto the park, which was unfortunate for him. But Will Ashcroft was far and away the best player in his year. He won every award that you could possibly win, almost, winning under 18 championships, the MVP for that, the under 18s league in Victoria. He won that as well with Sandringham Dragons. So it's pressure for Cadman in a sense that if Ashcroft does another Dacos season where he wins the Rising Star with all unanimous votes, it's going to look hard on GWS for not having at least bid on Ashcroft. But we can understand the hype that having a number one draft pick at your club does, and the advertising it does to your fans, that it, you know, sells hope for the future. But we're just hoping that Cadman can live up to expectations. Yeah, Brent Daniels is an interesting one. You know, a small forward obviously can't sort of get on the park given his recent injuries. It's probably another group of players that I would have under the pump is probably their ruck division. Pruce, Flynn, and Briggs. We don't know who the heck is going to be the number one ruckman for GWS. And there needs to be that continuity of either picking Pruce or Flynn, with Briggs being that backup ruck. They brought Pruce in for a reason, and he just can't play more than 8 games of senior footy. So I think he's probably a player that I would have under the most pressure, given his just ability, really. He's such a massive human, and he's such a presence in the middle of the ground around the ball, that he really does need to step up and help out his midfield brigade that might be a bit lighter in 2023. So that they're certainly the ruck position is certainly under the pump for my mind.
Yeah, I like that call with the rucks. I didn't even really consider them, just because I think there's bigger holes in that team. But when you put it like that, you're right. There's none of those ruckmen have cemented the spot in the 22. I think Flynn's shown signs, but then he probably hasn't done quite enough. Proust, the same can be said for sure. I'm pretty happy with that little analysis of JWS. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that was good. I think we covered everything that we wanted to. Do you want to look at going into Hawthorn now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go to the Hawks, another team who, again, it's hard to see them doing too much in 2023, but we'll get to that in a minute. We'll look at the ins and outs. Coming in, they've got a few guys who will probably play, They've got a few guys who have a fair bit of AFL experience coming in. They've got Lloyd Meek, who starved for opportunity at the Dockers, stuck behind one of the premier rucks of the competition these days, Sean Darcy, and Rory Lobb, for what it's worth. And then with Luke Jackson going there, there was really not much hope for Lloyd Meek. So he's got out and got to the Hawks. I really like that pickup for them. I think he probably gets the number one ruck spot, in my opinion. But him and Reeves are going to be a great battle, I think, to watch for this preseason and even the early stages of the regular season. It's a pretty big name. Did really, really well in the Brownlow, which surprised a few, was Carl Amon. He'll slot in straight into the team. I guess it was a salary issue at Port Adelaide. They didn't want to pay him the money that he was probably asking. And I don't hate the pick for... I don't hate this for Hawthorn at all. I think he's going to provide something that not many players can, and that's being just an elite wingman. It's hard to find them these days, and I think Amon will do really well in that role. The other two players who have been on AFL lists that they've picked up are Cooper Stevens and Fergus Green. Fergus Green looking like he's probably going to play a bit, but he's been out of the AFL system for a year or two. And then, of course, in the draft, they had two first-round picks, two really good picks. They got, with pick 7, Cam McKenzie, and pick 18, Josh Weddle. Both guys looking like they could probably play a bit this season, that's for sure. What do you think about the ins?
Yeah, I think the biggest one for mine is Lloyd Meek. I really rate him as a player, and he's deserved of a number one ruckman in a team. And obviously, you know, Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson are pretty good tandem. So hard for him to find a spot in Fremantle's best 22. I think he takes Hawthorn's number one ruck spot. I think he's just so good around the ground, and his ruck craft in tight, I think that'll really help a very young and inexperienced Hawthorn midfield sort of do better than they should. But I love all their ins. I think Cooper Stevens from Geelong, a first-round draft pick a few years ago, inside midfielder. I think, you know, great opportunity to have that on your list. Carl Amon, I think an experienced winger and a traditional winger. You don't see many traditional wingers right now. There are either midfielders who can't play inside because of the depth of talent, or sort of half forward. So I think Carl Amon brings a lot of experience and leadership, which Hawthorn probably need. Fergus Green, I actually love him. I'm sad Bulldogs delisted him a few years ago. I think he's an incredibly underrated player, and he plays as a high half forward with incredible leap. I think Jamie Elliott from Collingwood is sort of a player that comes to mind that has that height above his head ability and can jump on shoulders. And I think he's a great player for Hawthorn to trial out. And their two first-round draft picks in Cam McKenzie and Josh Weddle look like they might be debuting. I really rated Josh Weddle as a smaller key defender. He's about 192 centimetres, but at Hawthorn, he's beaten all the senior players in all the running testing at the club. So I think that just shows his aerobic capacity to make it already in the AFL system. So I think their ins are really impressive, but their outs are also equally as impressive.
Impressive is one way to put it. And let's go through the exodus that happened. So leaving the club, they've had Jack Gunston, Tom Mitchell, Yago O'Meara, Liam Shields, all traded.
He retired.
He retired and then got picked up. So, but those are four big names. And then retiring was Ben McAvoy. Tom Phillips was delisted.
Yep.
Daniel Howe, I think, was he traded or was he delisted?
He was cut.
He was delisted and then picked up again by North. And then they've gotten rid of Jackson Callow, Connor Downey, Kyle Hardigan, and Jack Saunders. So there's some big names, a lot of AFL experience just walking out the door, premiership winners walking out the door. And I've had a lot of discussions about this decision from the Hawthorn staff as to why they thought this was a good idea. I've heard both sides of the story. Obviously, Hawthorn weren't a team that was going to be winning anytime soon. But I think when they get rid of all that AFL experience, you're walking a really fine line between, you know, rebuilding and then just really keeping yourself at the bottom for a long time in the future. That being said, we don't know how that's going to look for them until we see them play. Obviously, Sam Mitchell has an idea of what he wants to do with this football club and the players that they've got, and that's great. As long as you can see direction with it, I think that's positive signs. But, I mean, Jack Gunston was a big player for him for so long. Mitchell and O'Meara, yes, I know Hawthorn fans weren't loving them, but they are two fantastic midfielders, especially Mitchell, Brownlow medalist. He's going to provide so much at Collingwood. O'Meara's going to provide a lot to Freo. It's just, yeah, it's a bizarre off-season. I don't think I love it. What are your thoughts, Dina?
Yeah, I think there was a stat that read that Hawthorn have lost 1,000-plus games of experience, which I think any club that loses that much experience is going to hurt. Whether they're at the end of their careers or not, having that leadership off the field is just as important to have on the field. And Hawthorn of late have had a bit of a revolving door of club captains. They haven't had the ability to lock in a captain for more than a year or two. So that leadership, that key leadership figure is sort of missing, really. You know, Ben McAvoy had it for a year or two. He's retired. Ben Stratton had it for a year or two, retired. I think Roughhead as well a few years ago had it for a year or two and then retired. So they really need to lock down their club leaders. I think James Sicily was recently elevated to club captain. So I think that's good for them. I think he's got a few more years. But, you know, Gunston in the forward line. Now they've only got really Bruce, who's been there for more than five or so seasons and been playing consistent football. They're going to be very bare in that position. Their midfield is almost non-existent. They've lost that many gun players. So it's going to be interesting. I have my worries for Hawthorn, and I think a lot of footy fans do. I think they've personally cut a bit too deep, and I think they could have afforded to keep a Liam Shields or a Daniel Howe. You know, whether or not they play 22 games or even just 10, I think they needed that leadership because they've had a great off season getting some young guys. And outside of Carl Amon, they've, you know, played 40 games or under for 8 or 9 players arriving at the club. So I think they've got a real leadership void on the field coming into the new season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting point you make about the captaincy scenario or situation, and I was actually going to touch on that with Sicily being appointed captain just recently. It was a really interesting discussion before that announcement was made by the Hawks. There was a lot of speculation on who it could be, and it seemed like everyone was expecting either Sicily or Dylan Moore, and then everyone else who I spoke to, like, well, yeah, it can't be anyone else. And I think it just shows the fact that it couldn't be anyone else other than those two, it said a lot. And, you know, I do worry that they're going in the wrong direction with these moves. That being said, I do want to make sure that it's clear that their young talent that they've got on their list is very good. They've got a great young crop of players that are coming through and that are going to continue to develop and be good players. And so that is something that they're really banking on working out for them. They're hoping that these players who have already shown some really good signs can go on and become really solid contributors to the team for many years to come. you know, someone like Jai Newcombe, he's someone who I could see being penned down as a future leader. Josh Ward, you know, Denver Granger Barras, I know he's been, you know, fighting people in club intra-club matches, but you know what? Maybe that's what's needed at the club right now. Maybe they need that spark. You know, Will Day could be a future leader if they get games into him. So,
yeah. It's, Connor McDonald's.
It really is. It's scary, but it's also exciting. I think this is such a exciting time to watch a team like this, in the sense that we just have no idea what could happen. I really don't think 2023 is going to be much fun in terms of the results, but seeing the individual players come out and start to blossom could be really exciting. Moving on to my general prediction, though, for 2023, and I guess you can probably expect to hear what I'm about to say, and it's not going to take rocket science to figure it out, but I do have Hawthorn as my wooden spooners. They might sneak up a couple places on the ladder, but they are my wooden spooners heading into the season, mainly due to the fact that I just think early on, with all that AFL experience leaving, I think they're in a lot of strife. Later in the season, they might come out and get a few scalps here and there, but yeah, I think they're the wooden spooners, and I think the club shouldn't be aiming for much more than that. I think, much like the Giants, they should be just aiming to get games into these kids. Forget the ladder. If you can get the wooden spoon, that's not the end of the world, because you're going to get the number one pick. But, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they're definitely in contention for wooden spooners. I think there might be maybe two other clubs that might be in that same position of them, given the Hawthorn and some other clubs like North Melbourne are quite inexperienced and young. Although I think I have faith in Sam Mitchell. I think he's a very smart and shrewd operator. I think he's a club great. And last year he almost took some scalps of some, you know, very experienced teams. So I'm really impressed with him. I think he went after, in a Melbourne game, he went after Ed Langdon, which I think was really impressive that he sat one of Hawthorn's young midfielders on Ed Langdon on the wing and nullified his output, and that almost turned the tide and won them the game. So I think I have some faith that Sam Mitchell's got some tricks on his sleeve, and I'm sort of more worried about the end of the season where they run out of steam. So hopefully Hawthorn can bank a few more wins at the start of the season, build that confidence, but also show the league that they're going in the right direction. But yeah, they could be finishing with the wooden spoon, which is not the end of the world. They'll have access to probably Harley Reid at this stage, who's already touted as the up-and-coming Dustin Martin for the 2023 crop. Not bad to have him running around in your midfield for the next 15 years, but it will hurt teammates and fans seeing your club down the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, interesting. I agree with a lot of what you said there, for sure. In terms of some individual players that are ready to take the next step, I've gone with two for this segment. I've gone Jai Newcombe. Speaks for itself. You know, that midfield is open for a new leader, and I think he's the one who will take it. I've loved watching him since he came into the AFL. Really took the league by storm in some ways, and just super exciting. Goes so hard at the footy. You can't help but root for him. And I really do think that he's going to really flourish in the opportunity to become that go-to midfielder for the Hawks. And then the next player I've got is, and it won't be a surprise to many, is Dylan Moore. He's just continued to improve every year. He was, you know, in conversation to be the new captain. You know, he's been a small, high, half forward kind of player who could, I think, this season move into the midfield a bit more, and it wouldn't surprise a lot of people if he does. But yeah, they're two really exciting players, and there's a lot of players you could have put into this segment for the Hawks just due to how young they are and how up and coming their team is. What do you think?
Yeah, I think half their best 22 could be in that position where they take the next step, and I think, you know, in time most of them will. I think for me, Dylan Moore is probably the player that I'm looking at to take that next step. I think there was a stat that he'd kick a goal or two in the first half and then he'd drop off his output and wasn't able to score. So I think if he can string consistent four quarters together, I think that'll help him elevate his game and as well as fill in that role within the Hawthorn forward line, being that more experienced and advanced player just to help those younger players. You know, Jai Newcomb won the best first-year player or best young player in the competition, which is a player who's been in the league for 2 years. So he won that this year, and he also came second in the NAB Rising Star to Dacos. So he's shown already that he's moving in the right direction for Hawthorn, and I think we're both fans of the way he plays. He loves to tackle. He loves to put a lot of body pressure on the opposition when they have the ball, and you just love to watch that. And I think he's been given the number three shirt, which was Lee Matthews' position, and I think he plays a lot like him if you've ever watched the highlights of Lee Matthews back in the day. Who do you think are under the pressure?
Yeah, so I've got a couple names. I'll run through them pretty quick. Two guys who I've previously mentioned, and that's Denver Granger Barras and Will Day. Not necessarily in terms of they haven't been playing well enough. It's more that these guys are two future leaders of this team. And I think given the culling that occurred, these are two guys who there'll be a lot more eyes on them this season. Will Day, you know, I think he broke the record for the longest amount of games before ever getting a win. So, you know, he's... And this is not a dig on him as an individual, but statistically, he's the biggest loser in the AFL. And it's not a good title to have, and I don't think he's going to want to be remembered for that. I think he's going to want to be remembered as a leader, as a player who really helped Hawthorn progress through this rebuild in a really great fashion. So I think those two are guys who I think show some more improvement, you know, get the footy more in their hands, you know, just be great players for them. The opportunity's there, just they got to take it. For different reasons, I've got two other names. Jarman Impey, we talk about leaders. With all those players leaving, you look at the senior players on this list, and naturally more pressure comes on them. So Jarman Impey needs to step up his game. I think out of all the senior players who should be playing regular best 22 footy, he's been the one who I'd say has sort of disappointed the last season, and he could probably improve from what he was doing last season. Just cleaner with the footy, try and stamp out the mistakes and just be a role model to the kids coming through. And then we've already mentioned it, but Lloyd Meek's going to come in and put a lot of pressure on Ned Reeves. So if Reeves really wants to be that number one ruckman at the Hawks, he's got to really step up his game.
Yeah, I think a lot of good options there, and for obviously different reasons. I think, yeah, Will Day hasn't had the best run of injuries, and I think that's really hampered getting that exposure to the AFL that Hawthorn probably would have wanted. You know, he's had glimpses of incredible footy for whether it's a quarter or two or a full game, but he really needs to be able to stay on the park, really. He was a high draft pick, one of their highest draft picks in a while, a number of years ago, and he really needs to repay the faith. I think, you know, whether he plays off the halfback or on the wing or in the midfield, I think he's got all the talent to really obviously improve Hawthorn and, yeah, be a young leader moving forward. Denver, Granger Barras, he still looks a bit undersized as a key defender. He's not in the scope of being a number one or number two key defender, but he does have that range to be that third tall to really help being the third man up. And, yeah, you know, he's starting fights in the intra-club matches, which I don't mind. He's got that aggression that I think teams need, especially in their defensive line, as long as it doesn't get out of hand. And I think he's really excited by the looks of it to really impress his, you know, recently new coach and try get that spot. Cause I think I'm really impressed with what Hawthorn have done in building a good defensive six or seven players. And Denver's really on that cusp of whether or not he makes it. Jarman Impey, I'll be honest, I haven't watched too much of Hawthorn, but he has been in the league for a while, so he does need to now replace some of the outs in terms of that experience and voicing that, whether that's on the field or off the field. I think that that's going to be really important. Ned Reeves, you know, it'll be interesting. Lloyd Meek coming in. I think Meek is a better ruck, at least at this stage, than Reeves, but Reeves is a better forward. So I think, you know, there'll be a question mark if they can coexist in the same team and if they are able to have the same output as one another to warrant their selection. So I think, yeah, Ned Reeves really needs to make sure that he's really staying in toe-to-toe to Meek throughout this offseason. But I think, yeah, a lot to look forward to. But, yeah, a few players under the pump.
Absolutely. I think that'll wrap up our analysis on the Hawks. It's been a really interesting discussion about two teams who, you know, this season could be pretty tough for them. It could be pretty good for them if they can get things right in terms of just getting these young players blossoming into stars. I'm excited to see both of these teams in 2023. I think they're exciting. I think that's the one thing that comes with having such a young list and young players coming through, and that is not anything could happen. So GWS and Hawthorn, check them off the list. Hopefully they do a bit better than we expected them to, especially if you're a fan of either of those teams. We'd love to hear what you have to say about that. If you have any thoughts on either of these teams and how you think they'll go, or any questions about some of our opinions or predictions, please send us a message on Twitter or just interact with us, whatever you want to do. That's great. We love to hear it. Other than that, I think that'll do for this episode. We'll be back with our next episode with Melbourne and North Melbourne.
Yeah, we'll see you then, and have a good day.